Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. I am Doug Llewellyn, and it's a delight to have you with us today. This is our first Monday in daylight saving time. Normally, I'd be saying good morning, but now I'm going to say good afternoon. Anyway, nice to have you back with us. And we're happy and thrilled because Angie McCourt is back with us today. Angie was with us last week in a great conversation with Jim Masters. And, hey, I get the chance to chat with her today. I'm the lucky guy. In any event, if you didn't hear that broadcast, you're in for quite a treat. Angie is a success and mindset coach. She's the founder of what is known as Authentic ME Revolution, or The Authentic ME Revolution. You know, I think the best way, really, to tell you about Angie is to use her own words. She describes herself as someone who helps busy professionals like yourself transform your mindset, leading to an authentic and purposeful life. As a guide, she empowers and enables you through her integrative methodology, and her mission is to help create space for you to determine your best life and how to get there. In other words, if you're looking for more fulfillment, more freedom, and forward movement in your life and career, you are in the right place. You're in the hands of Angie McCourt. Lovely Angie. She's based in Floral City, Florida, which is about an hour away from Disney World, which is not so far to go if you have kids and you need to get them there. In any event, it's a delight to have Angie back with us today. So let's not waste a lot of time. Let's get right back in it with Angie. Angie, welcome back. How are you today? Good afternoon.
I'm great, Doug. Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be back and a great honor to be with you here.
Well, listen, I know you talked a lot about your practice, how you help people, et cetera. There were some number of things you didn't talk about in your previous conversation. So let's get into this. One of them is the fact that you have written a book. I know you didn't talk much about that. It's called Love Your Gifts, Permission to Revolutionize Authenticity in the Workplace. That sounds pretty fascinating. What's it all about, and why did you write it?
Ah, okay. So Love Your Gifts is a transformational nonfiction book, and it ties in how being our authentic self will open up our what I call elevated gifts. And I decided to write this book. I'd actually always wanted to write a book, but I think for about 15 years, every year I came up with a new topic, a new title, and I finally decided about 3 years ago to kind of test the topic, and this was the topic, and I tested it out in the market with some blogs that I put out just to see how people would respond and react to it. And the reason I really wanted to share this was because this was a lot of my own journey that I had been on over a decade and really trying to, from a leadership perspective, bring in my authentic self, from a business perspective, bring in my authentic self. And so it's an interesting way that I kind of approach the topic because I do pull in different concepts. And maybe things that we don't necessarily think are impacting how we show up authentically. So in part one of the book, I introduce or basically recognize many of the mindset and belief and culture and behavior limitations that impact how we show up authentically in the workplace. And I include what I call make the shift exercises. So this helps us do some of the inner and outer work in these areas. And I believe that many of these particular areas, including expectations, judgment of ourselves and others, limiting beliefs that we may have, comparison, our own identity, and then how we work, and then what we take on from our work environment, all impact our unlocking or what I call unleashing our elevated gifts. So we start with doing the work. And then in part two, I introduce 16 of these elevated gifts or archetypes because I like to kind of give this persona that people can kind of respond to or almost feel like they can relate to. And there's also included guidance on how to clear the way to authentically activate and use those gifts and step into that archetype. And through my own experience of witnessing others or of personally utilizing these gifts over the past decade, I really, really wanted to bring this focus into today's workplace. And the reason is because a lot of these particular gifts are not the traditional professional development checklist skills and hard and soft skills that we've been conditioned and trained and told we have to have. These are much more improved. These are much more elevated to the fact that they're navigating current times of unpredictability, uncertainty, very weird spurts of speed in a nonlinear way. And so these gifts are really super important for how we move forward in business and in the world. And it's an interesting dynamic because what I advocate for is to increase awareness and to bring acknowledgement to these gifts in the workplace as well as activation and appreciation, because these do bring value to both our culture and business. And these are the gifts that will help us navigate these times. And then in part three, I actually offer a method to identify, activate, integrate these gifts, as well as to support others, because that's so important when you're witnessing them utilizing these gifts. I offer a quiz, so you don't have to try to figure it out yourself, to determine what your primary, your secondary, and supporting elevated gifts or archetypes are that you can work with. And I truly believe that now is the time that these gifts will make a much bigger difference than any of our other kind of traditional skills, hard or soft, and that leadership is craving these abilities. And this paradigm shift will change our future innovation, the way we interact with each other, our relationships, as well as what we focus on for development areas.
Well, that sounds fascinating. I can't wait to hear what these gifts are. And I assume these are gifts that you discovered yourself. Would that be right?
Yes, yes.
From your own experience.
Yeah, I've modeled them myself or I've modeled them off of other people that I've witnessed, that I'm still working on unlocking my own gift in that area.
Yeah. For people who didn't hear the previous broadcast you did, you were in the corporate world yourself for a long time, and you've shifted from the corporate world into the helping industry, as you point out, at a time when major change can happen, including revolutionizing the workplace and life in general. By the way, do me a favor and give me a definition, a simple definition of what you mean by authenticity in the workplace. I don't mean to throw you off course, but what do you mean by that?
Sure.
What is authenticity? Huh?
Yeah, authenticity is basically how we show up as ourselves. So it is the words that we speak. It is the way that, you know, I mean, you could go to external pieces like how we dress, our, you know, kind of our trend, or how we decide we want to show up in that particular way. And it's, you know, interesting because in the workplace, this is where we spend most of our waking hours. And, you know, what's important about being able to show up our true authentic self in our own personality, not with a mask on, not in the box, is that we become this person who can actually contribute a lot more. So if we show up in the way that we feel others expect us to, or we show up in our true authentic self, or maybe a combination of both, that we end up still not getting to the point where we're feeling fulfilled and happy, and we still have to flip that mask on and off. And as you can imagine, when we put on the mask, we may also block all of our offerings and our gifts that we can bring to our job and our team. We also waste energy because we're holding up the mask, you know. And when I look at people who have taken that mask off, they've stepped out of the box, they've really shown up their authentic self, they no longer play small, or they're no longer holding back their ideas that they would have done in that old way. And they also are having a much bigger impact because they're not afraid of, you know, sharing too much or being too loud or coming across as being too big in the room. And what most companies don't realize is that when their employees don't feel comfortable or safe to be their authentic self, they risk losing them and not getting as much out of them as, you know, they could. And this ends up leaving like brilliant ideas on the table. And what most people don't realize is that when they don't show up their authentic self, eventually they will be disengaged and they're not going to find the meaning in their work. That is one of the drivers of their intrinsic motivation. And this ends up leading to unhappiness. And where this tends to be put on, as we're seeing right now, a lot of people leaving their jobs, is their manager. Their manager's fault, you know. But in reality, it's because they aren't happy because they're not showing up in their authentic self and their authentic skin. They're not speaking up when they know that they should. They're not sharing ideas that they could bring to the table that could, you know, elevate whatever the project or the business or the customer experience that's going on for those teams.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking what you're pointing out is that most people wear these masks that they have the majority of the time, which I think is kind of hard to do. Anyway, why do you think we need to revolutionize authenticity in the workplace? Why is that necessary?
So this is a big thing I'm advocating for because we are in the midst of an evolution as humans. And what I see more and more and more is that we are deep diving on meaning, on purpose, on our identity, on our values. And there has been a disconnect for most of us due to living in a very robotic mode for so long. And now that has been disrupted, which has forced us to slow down. And in doing so, we're going inward in a deeper way. You know, we're shifting our values and our priorities to the things that matter to us now. And we're looking then to kind of align that back into our old life departments like work. But the worst thing that can happen is that we keep old paradigms in place that end up squashing down kind of these newly evolved humans into an even bigger box. And if that happens, and we don't make changes to these old cultures, employees are not only going to break out, but they are going to bust out of the box. And that will leave company leaders in very challenging positions. And the revolution, as I call it, around this is at both the employee and the leader level. So for the leader, leading by example, listening, connecting, and holding safe space, that's the leader's role. And then showing up in an authentic and balanced and connected in a self-leading way is the employee's role.
Mm. There's a lot to think about of what you're pointing out. In other words, a lot of the people you work with, by the way, did this all come about as a result of COVID, or has this been going on for a long time?
This has been on the edge and the verge of explosion for a long time. This has
really
been like the little secrets going on in the closed rooms. And I think COVID gave us the massive opportunity to really blow this wide open.
Well, how do you go about changing the work environment? That's not easy to do, is it?
No, it's not. And I believe that the grassroots efforts of employees are already beginning. You know, expectations are being shared. People are leaving their jobs. And there's a focus on employee engagement. It's basically at its all-time high that I've ever seen it. And the reason why is that people are desiring more meaning in their work. They want more flexibility in their workday and how they're showing up and being able to show up at their best times. And they also want more appreciation and for their contributions. And then a better balance of how they're creating value in their work, which means, you know, stopping the energy drain. And I struggle with how companies alone can help improve work-life balance for their employees because it should be at an individual level. This isn't a cookie-cutter approach. And I don't mean it in an unfair way, but, you know, Susie's needs are different than Justin's needs. And so, you know, there are two key, I think, keys to making the shift needed in the work environment today. The first is that employees need to speak up and ask for what they think is impossible, yet what they truly need and want with their management. And then the second key is that leadership style and skills need a major evolution. There are many leaders who are equipped to lead in this new world of unpredictability, uncertainty, nonlinear speed, and isolation, but the majority are just not there. And going through the shift to remote work, where they are having to navigate flexibility and compassion for employees, has cracked this gap wide open. So I also look at the employees' desire for more meaningful work, and it's extremely different than those past conversations of wanting a promotion or more money or even developing traditional skills. You know, this basically ends up taking on a whole new set of skills from the leader, including empathy, including authentic connections, deeper listening, and coaching skills over performance management, which was like the way of the past for many decades. But it also includes slowing down to challenge the work that their teams are doing to make sure that is actually meaningful and that is needed, and then to engage their teams in a new and meaningful way, which is instead of you're supposed to be, you know, giving me this particular analytical, you know, output or result or task that you're supposed to complete, it's what can they actually bring to the table? Because you hired them for a lot more than just completing a task. And so when I think about, you know, the Great Resignation, for instance, if that isn't proof of the fact that people are leaving companies and bosses because of lack of alignment of values and beliefs, and I don't know what is in recent history.
That's so true. What you're pointing out is so doggone true. It also occurs to me that it's kind of difficult to achieve what you're trying to do and what you're talking about with so many people, you know, working remotely. They're not in the office. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. But anyway,
yeah.
If they can achieve it, how does authenticity impact an organization? How would you answer that?
Oh yeah, I've had the complete honor of leading very creative, accountable, high performing teams, and the key themes that I found within the culture were: I led from an authentic place by example, was engagement, ownership, passionate connection, growth, mindset, solutions oriented, and then a desire for intrinsic growth. And then in very high change environments, there was less resistance to change. There was much more creativity and innovation and simply results oriented. And those teams work better together, where, you know, trust is foundational and the fears are hindered so that work can bloom. There was no micromanagement. There was no, like, I didn't approve everything. You know, I was like, move faster. You guys have to, you got to trust in your own stuff, you know, and go roll things out yourself. I don't need to approve everything as the leader of this group, right? So, you know, shifting and trusting and kind of allowing for, you know, solutions over dwelling in problems and micromanagement and, you know, holding teams back because you're afraid somebody's going to make a mistake, helps them to own the value that we provided to, you know, kind of the overall strategy, vision and mission. And, you know, you can only imagine how our customers felt, as well as stakeholders and vendors and peers and leaders within the company. So it's a solid proof point about the impact authenticity can have on an entire business culture, shared values, and even voice of that company.
You know, I'm really impressed with what you're talking about here. For people who did not hear you before, I think it's important just to take a moment or two to tell me a little bit about your background. I mean, you were in the corporate world. You got out of it to do this. We're talking to Angie McCourt, and her practice is called the Authentic Me Revolution, the me being you. Tell me just briefly a little bit about your career. How did you end up doing this?
Oh, it's interesting. I actually majored in fashion merchandising, and then I spent the last 21 of my 27 years in corporate in the tech industry, and the last 13 as an executive in that industry for a Fortune 80 company. And it was an interesting run because what I found was it was all about skills. That whole entire journey of, you know, starting in one place in an educational sense and then ending up in this industry that was just amazing to have a career in, it was all about skills. And so I have always been a learner. And I think that as I, you know, kind of got to this point in my career, in my last company, I started to actually do transformation for the company and business innovation in a way that was allocated, you know, this is what we're doing, instead of me driving business units to do that. And so what was interesting about that is it started to open me up to this other world of, you know, transforming ourselves individually. And this is where I, probably about 4 years ago, started going down this path of learning deeply. I've always been intrigued with the brain, so neuroscience became this hobby for me to learn. And, you know, I started to become certified as a hypnotist and as NLP practitioner and learning different techniques. And some of that came just from the sense of me using them and me finding that change and that shift that I was able to do, and, you know, really being able to then share that with the world, because not all of these tools are known out there. And also just for the decades of mentoring and coaching that I had done, what I found towards the end of my career was that was like my favorite part of the day, was when I was meeting with a peer or with someone who I was coaching or mentoring, and I was like, okay, I think this is supposed to be my calling. And so, you know, kind of pulling it all together, it became this massive message around, you know, I'm overcoming overachievement. You know, I was like this kind of recovering overachiever. Had 5 kids between my husband and I, in a very crazy life, and I saw the people around me suffering in this way too. And it took me a while just to learn my own stuff, you know. Like, wow, why am I caught up in this particular way of doing things or in this world and this way of thinking? And, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. You know, you can find that balance, but it's got to come from you, not from your outside, you know, circumstances or resources. And so I decided that I wanted to go down this path just to help others, like, do this earlier in their life, not wait till they're almost 50 years old to, you know, to find, you know, these different ways of living and different ways of being able to balance between ourself, our energy, and then also what we're putting out into the world and the demands that we, you know, have based on our own expectations or others. And so that was really kind of my drive for going down this path, was how can I bring a lot of experience and how can I, you know, completely come from a place of understanding, because I've been there, you know, in those crazy situations. And then also bring in the tools that can help make the shifts and the changes and permanent changes that are so amazing for people. And I just love how my clients are finding total amazing shifts. And, you know, I start with the loss of identity to, oh my gosh, this is, I'm bigger than I ever was, you know, type of shifts in a very short period of time. So, you know, that to me is my purpose. I was training all these years in the corporate environment to come to this point. And it's funny because, you know, I've been counting down to retirement and I'm like, well, I guess I'm getting started again in something totally different now.
Sounds great. Is it working? I mean, do you find people are coming to you at an earlier age? I mean, not those who are, you know, facing retirement, but you know, in their 30s or, you know, coming to you for help because they're frustrated and they're not, you know, they're not happy, right?
My youngest client is 20 years old.
There you go.
Yep. So
I mean, it's about time kids at that age opened up to come to someone. Did you have help from a coach, by the way, along yourself?
I did, yeah. So I have had different types of coaching and or spiritual healing was like one of my favorites, which is why I kind of integrate different things with energy because I feel like that is so important and not just traditional coaching. I also am doing a program right now, a master's certification with Dr. Claire Zammit, who runs the Feminine Power Institute. And it's really about taking the old ways of how we're trained to be a coach and now incorporating it into this new world, which is not the same as it was 10 years ago, and really, you know, helping women especially to be able to unlock why are they feeling this nudge? Why are they feeling trapped? What is going on in their evolution specifically that can help connect them to the answers? And, you know, it is a bit of a different approach than traditional coaching, you know, type of models have trained everyone to be. So, you know, I'm kind of going down this niche specializing path to really dive in and help, and this goes for men and women, but to help unlock the feminine power system basically within each of us. And this comes with a whole different skill set that we have that will help us navigate the way the world is now. It's a very different approach, and that keeps me extremely energized as well as just curious and connected, I would say.
Well, I think it's just great what you're doing. It's just, by the way, we were talking about your book. How can your book help guide people to shifting their mindset and allowing for their authenticity and their gifts be unleashed? How can the book do that?
Yeah, the book can. So the word transformation, let me start there. It's a very specific type of change that takes place at the level of beliefs and values, at your identity and, you know, spirituality or energy. And transformation happens on the level of who you are. So it's like your sense of who others are and also like what is possible in your life. So, you know, that is really where when I do work with clients that happens. And so what I wanted to do is be able to scale kind of this approach out to others. And so, you know, what this leads to is a development of new skills and capacities where you can expand and see greater potentials and possibilities. And that's what my book offers. So not only in the chapters of the book, but I also have included an integrative workbook to do the Make the Shift work, which is really important, as well as meditations on energy balance and also meeting your future self, which is like one of my favorite all-time exercises. And then my intent, I would say, for writing this book was not to just write a book, but to create an experience of knowledge and of feeling and integration to truly transform the reader. And my belief is, when we remove the blocks holding us back, that we are able to show up our authentic self. And when we're comfortable in our authentic skin is when we can unlock and unleash the power of our elevated gifts.
Well, it really sounds very, very, it sounds wonderful. I want to point out Angie's book is called Love Your Gifts, Permission to Revolutionize Authenticity in the Workplace. The book, by the way, is available on Amazon. You know, everything's available on Amazon. The book is there, at least, and probably elsewhere, other bookstores. Go find it. And by the way, if you're interested in getting in touch directly with Angie, it's possible to do that. Take a look at her website, a wonderful website called Angie McCourt, A-N-G-I-E, McCourt, MCCOURT.com. If you go there, you'll learn all about what Angie's philosophies on coaching are and how she can help you. She's wonderful, as I think you can understand. Angie, it's been great having you as a guest with us today. Thank you so much, my dear. Wish we had more time, but we got to go. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it.
All right. That's it, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this. She's a wonderful lady and a very smart lady to boot. No question about that.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.